We on, brother? Where Brother Kratz is from, down there around Mount Airy, there are over 160 Baptist churches, never mind the rest of them, Baptist churches in a county of 50, 60,000. And I was preaching a camp meeting up there, and this fellow walked up. I hadn't met him before, and I said, tell me about yourself. He said, well, we were in Mexico as missionaries, but we felt led of the Lord to come to Mount Airy and start a church. I was going to say something just like that. There's no false God that sent him to Mount Airy, much less the true God. I mean, Molech wouldn't even send him to Mount Airy. They get things in their head, man. Brother Joe, you're right. You don't want to discourage people from serving God, but man, I guarantee you, there's more need in Mexico than there is in Mount Airy. But anyway, so yeah. Got your piano player? That same guy? Now, Moloch was probably in that. Baal or one of them. Amen. All right, well, let me preach the half of my message. Brother Joe left me for 1 Corinthians 3. There's so much overlap in these. It's all right. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Father, bless your word, please, one more time. We love this book. We believe it. And we really do want to live by it. We want to work by it. We want to please you. And just ask, pray that you'd help us. In Jesus' name, and amen. All right, little Bible study. Good preaching this morning. Bible study time now. First of all, the foundation is laid. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid. It is not being laid. It is not being renovated. We don't need to tear the thing down and start over again for a new generation and a new age and a new time. It's laid. Also, there are not several foundations. There's one foundation. People don't see everything the way we see it, don't do everything the way we do it. If they're saved, they're on one foundation. They're not, Brother Joe said, that they might not be doing the right thing on that foundation. I have in my life watched the Three Stooges, I have to admit. I hope one day before I die to watch them with Joe. Now that would be... It would just add a whole dimension to the Three Stooges to watch it with Joe. Anyway, the foundation is Jesus Christ.
Right.
It's not a church.
Right.
It's Jesus Christ.
Right.
It's not even the church.
Right.
It's Jesus Christ. Amen. The church is on the foundation. Jesus Christ is the foundation. And what that means is the church is not of greater value or importance than Jesus Christ. Now we don't need that so much in our circles, but your poor kinfolk that are Roman Catholics, the church says, the church teaches, the church believes. The church is not more important than the foundation. Foundation, Jesus Christ. The foundation is not a denomination. I know some guys that are more Baptist than Christian. I know some Christians that ought to be more Baptist. But a denomination is not the foundation. And the foundation is not a particular doctrine. We're King James only. There's some saved people that aren't. Don't write Pastor Ray. Some of you were saved before you were King James only. Okay, there's some saved people that think, though they can't go through a three-day power outage without losing their minds, they're going to go through 7 years of great tribulation. You might start. You ain't going through. Anyway, I don't believe that. I think rapture could be today. But the rapture is not the foundation.
Right.
Jesus Christ is the foundation. And the Lord is not building his church on our favorite three or four doctrines taken out of the Bible. He's building the foundation on Jesus Christ. And much of our division is, it's our emphasis that divides us. And our emphasis might be right, and their emphasis might be right, and our emphasis might be wrong, their emphasis might be wrong. But I'm going to tell you this a fact. Whatever your church majors in, if it's not Jesus Christ, you're off the foundation. Bus ministry's great, music's great, soul winning's great, Bible study's great. That is not the foundation. You start majoring in anything other than Jesus Christ, you're going to get off in a ditch. He's the foundation. Third, men did not lay this foundation. Men build on the foundation. They didn't lay the foundation. Jesus Christ is the foundation. He didn't need any help at all. Lay that foundation. Praise the Lord. All right, now, let's go quickly run some verses. We got 15 verses to cover in about 35 minutes, so we'll have to make short work of some of them. Exodus chapter 9, a foundation. Not trying to be condescending. We just want to get this thing right from the book. Exodus chapter 9 and verse number 18. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6 and verse number 26. Joshua 6 and verse 26. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. That temple that we heard talked about, come to 1 Kings chapter 5. 1 Kings chapter number 5. Egypt has a foundation. The city of Jericho, were it to be rebuilt, would have a foundation. 1 Kings chapter 5 verse 17, and the king commanded, and they brought great stones, costly stones, and huge stones to lay the foundation of the house. One more, Psalm 102. Psalm 102 and verse number 25. Psalm 102 and verse 25. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. Okay, so Exodus, a nation, has a foundation. What would that be? The starting place. Jericho, if it were rebuilt, would have a foundation. What would that be? The starting place. The temple had a foundation. What would that be? The starting place. The earth, planet, has a foundation. What would that be? The starting place. Then guess what John the Baptist is not?
Right, that's right.
He's not the starting place of the church. If Jesus Christ is the foundation, it is not a continuation of Old Testament Israel. If Jesus Christ is the foundation, it is not the continuation of covenants. If Jesus Christ is the foundation, it's not a replacement for a failed Old Testament program. If Jesus Christ is the foundation, it didn't start with John the Baptist or John the Methodist or John the Presbyterian. It started with Jesus Christ. The church is an entirely new thing. The church is something, it is not a carryover. It is not an improvement. It is not a renovation of anything God had ever done. It starts with Jesus Christ. I know our crowd agrees with that, but we need to do more than just have a position. We need to have a Bible reason for our position. If Jesus Christ is the foundation, what is a foundation throughout the Bible? It's a starting point. So Jesus Christ is the starting point of the church. You say, well, hasn't Jesus Christ always existed? Let me be careful and open a can of worms, and you can do with what you want with the worms at lunchtime. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost are eternal.
Right.
The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And they called His name, the Word made flesh, Jesus. He's the eternal Son who was manifest in the flesh. And God manifest in the flesh called Jesus Christ. He is the foundation of the church. The church does not begin with the Word, the Creator. The church begins with the Word made flesh who died upon a cross and rose again. Okay? The head of the church is not the eternal Son of God, though the person who's the head of the church is the eternal Son of God. The head of the church is the man, Christ Jesus.
Right.
We're not trying to start any controversy this morning. We're trying to end a bunch of controversies. We're not completed Jews, and we're not Hebrew / Christians, and we're not a kingdom of heaven pretending to be a kingdom of God. We're a new thing, a brand new thing that starts with Jesus Christ, and we're not trying to put the old things on it. All right, let's press ahead. Let's get four places all at once, or two and then two. 1 Kings 7, Revelation 20. It's going to get quiet this morning. That's all right. I don't know about that. Good, good. Go home this afternoon, think about something besides junk. I don't know if I agree with what that preacher said or not. Look up the verses. Don't call a friend. Look up the verses. 1 Kings chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 20. 1 Kings 7. In Revelation chapter number 20, God has built other things, and He's had other things built. 1 Kings 7 and verse number, this is that temple now that Brother Camilleri is talking to you about. 1 Kings 7 and verse number 10, and the foundation was of costly stones, even great stones. Stones of 10 cubits and stones of 8 cubits. And above were costly stones after the measures of huge stones and cedars. All right, Revelation 20, verse number... Well, it's not Revelation 20, 19, because there's not one of those. 21, 19, here we go. Revelation 21, verse 19. This is that city up there, heaven, New Jerusalem. Coming down out of heaven, it's not heaven, it's in heaven. It won't be in heaven when it comes down out of heaven. We're going to the New Jerusalem, we're going to heaven. Which one? Well, New Jerusalem in heaven. Verse 19. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. First foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius. Young preachers, you come to these words, say them confidently, and everyone will think that's how they're pronounced. Don't slow down, just say it any old way, and it'll be fine. Seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, the 11th, the jacinth, the 12th, an amethyst. Scorby used to go home to his wife, and his wife would say, that's not how you pronounce that word. He said, it is from now on. Now everybody says it the way they heard Scorby say it on the recordings. Okay, now look. These stones for the old temple, these stones for the New Jerusalem, they are beautiful, strong, created by God, formed and used and fashioned for a purpose, but they're dead. There's no life in them. There's no life in them. The foundation of the Old Testament temple is lifeless. The foundation of the New Jerusalem is lifeless. See that? You know what we say? You know what we say to evolutionists? We say, oh man, we're just going to blow everything up this morning. We say, how can you believe in evolution when it requires life to come from something dead? Why are you arguing about how people got life before Jesus Christ died on the cross? That temple back there is built on dead stones. That New Jerusalem, that as beautiful as it is, that temple is built on dead stones. There's no life in those stones. Now, look at the New Testament here. Isaiah 28, though that's not New Testament, but Isaiah 28. It is the New Testament. It's just not recorded in the New Testament. Isaiah 28 and Ephesians chapter number 2. Isaiah 28 and Ephesians chapter number 2. Isaiah 28, verse number 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Now, you know something? When God says this, the temple's built. He's not talking about building an Old Testament temple, and God didn't lay that stone. Solomon laid that stone. God said, I'm going to lay a stone. When I lay a stone, it's going to be a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, and it'll be a sure foundation. Ephesians 2, verse number 20. Ephesians 2, verse number 20. And ye are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. You know what's different about this building? The first stone that was laid for the foundation of this building was alive. It's a stone that is alive. Those stones in that temple couldn't give anybody life. The stones in the New Jerusalem can't give anybody life. This stone is alive. This is a different thing. Christ is all through that Old Testament. In type, in prophecy, and in promise. Christ is all through that Old Testament. In the pictures of the sacrifices and the pictures of the feast days and the pictures in the furniture of the tabernacle and in the picture, all that. But had there been a commandment given that could have given life? Yeah. Huh. And there wasn't one.
Right.
And then God said, I'm going to lay a living stone. Amen. Living stone. Come on now. Keep that Ephesians 2 right there and come to Hebrews 6. Hebrews? Yeah, it's like Isaiah. It's the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. If you have problems with Hebrews, I have a recommendation for you. Instead of reading books about Hebrews, read Hebrews. Hebrews will clear up a lot of misconceptions about Hebrews. Hebrews 6 verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. So, when we scripturally expand this thing, when we compare the scripture with the scripture, we find out that that foundation stone is Jesus Christ. But the foundation of the church is an accepted, God-revealed set of truths about Jesus Christ. You understand? He's the chief cornerstone. And we're building on that chief cornerstone. But we're not building on that cornerstone with wrong ideas about baptism and wrong ideas about repentance and wrong ideas about resurrection and wrong ideas. You've got to have the right truths about the right Jesus Christ, or as Brother Camilleri said, you're just the three stooges. You're making a mess. If you think you became part of the church through baby sprinkling, you're not on the foundation. Though that was, somebody said that was about Jesus. If you think you're part of the church because you got immersed and didn't know what you were doing, you're not. That's not the foundation. You understand? If you think you've been reincarnated 3 or 4 times and this time you're a Christian, that's, see what he said? Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, and God is laying this foundation, but the foundation is not the Jesus Christ that some crackpot invented, and it's not the Jesus Christ that some religion came up with. There are set, established truths about Jesus Christ that are the biblical foundation of the New Testament church. Drive through Knoxville, drive through Rochester, drive through Chicago, wherever you're from, you'll see on all over the place, church, 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 church. How do you know if any of those churches are built on the foundation? Well, this one has Jesus, and this one has Jesus, and this one has Jesus. Hebrews 6 says there are established truths that prove whether or not that is the true Jesus and the true foundation. Brother Jeff's here this morning. Good to see you, brother. Hadn't seen Brother Jeff in a long time. Our designation used to say to people who are confused about it, your baby baptism didn't count. You've got to have a real one after you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that is? That's the foundation. Okay? So the foundation is not Jesus. Mormons have Jesus. Jehovah's Witnesses have Jesus. Muslims have Jesus. Catholics have Jesus. The foundation are those truths set forth by God in His Bible so you can know the true Jesus, the Son of God, sent down from heaven to be the Savior of the world. Amen. Now, come to Ephesians 2. Come to Ephesians chapter number 2. The foundation is His person and the essential truths regarding His work. I'm persuaded, as we mentioned last week or week before, I don't remember which. Let's just keep this going. We have one of these once a week somewhere. It's a blessing. Anyway, I don't think the primary draw of the mega church is people just love false doctrine. I think the primary draw of the mega church is most of us look really unhappy about being saved, and most of them don't. I mean, if I was brokenhearted and my family is falling apart and I was bankrupt, my life was in ruins, I wouldn't look for a bunch of people that were miserable. Right. I'd look for a bunch of people who seemed like they were having a really good time. Yeah. And that bunch looks like they're having a really good time. Right. The problem is, once you get there, they don't teach you the truth about Jesus Christ, so you can't ever get anchored to a solid foundation. We got a solid foundation. We're acting like it's more like that somebody's put our feet in concrete and left us stuck there. Anyway, look at Ephesians 2, and here's why I said this. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We men have touched on that already, the habitation and the building, the growing, all that. But look what he said. Jesus Christ is the foundation, but He alone is not the foundation. And built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. So how do you know you're on the right foundation? I love Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I trusted Jesus. Okay, fine. What have you done with what the apostles laid? Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. I'm not going to stop where some of you want me to stop. He didn't say apostle. He said apostles. There's more than one apostle who established the foundation of the New Testament church. Now, if your church doesn't line up with what God gave the apostles, you're off the foundation,
right. Even
though you love Jesus.
Right.
You know what a lot of churches got going on today? And I'm not saying they're not all saved, they're not part of the body. No, I'm just, you got a lot of people, they're out here in their beliefs, they're out here in their doctrine, they're out here in their practice, they're out here in their manner of living, but they got their hand on the cornerstone. God doesn't want you to connect to the cornerstone. God doesn't want you to touch the cornerstone. God doesn't want you to lean on the cornerstone. He wants you to get your life over here and get apostle apostolic doctrine underneath it. I don't doubt these modern churches love Jesus. I don't doubt it for a minute. I don't doubt these modern churches worship Jesus. I think they do. I've only been given one gospel tract in my life. I've only been witness to a few times in my life. Every time it was by a charismatic. I've never had a Baptist witness to me. I've never had a fundamental Christian witness to me. I never have. Those people are excited about the Lord. They're just not on the foundation. They've got the cornerstone, but they don't have the apostles. This foundation is not just what Jesus did on the cross. That's the chief cornerstone. But it's what he gave the apostles to establish and teach and ordain. It's that upon which the church is supposed to be built. Now, brother, before you throw in the towel and try something new and something modern and something different, I'm going to tell you something. What wrecked this thing was 30 and 40 years of God-blessed revivals and soul winning. But all we gave the people was the cornerstone. We didn't give them the foundation of the apostles. And our churches, we ran buses and won people to the Lord, and we filled the baptistry every Sunday, and then we sent more people out to win more people to the Lord, but we never taught anybody the truth of the Bible. That's why the house fell down. And now somebody else has picked up the mantle of going after the people and winning the souls and gathering them in, but it's going to collapse too because they're not teaching people the Bible. We have got to win souls to Christ and preach the gospel, but after we get them saved, they've got to know there's more in the Bible than soul winning, tithing, and attendance. We've got to give them the whole foundation. And Christ is the foundation, but he's not the whole foundation. That's what it says. All right, 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, we got to hurry. 1 Peter 2. Now look at the difference between the church and the temple. Look at the difference between building a kingdom of God, kingdoms, nations, land, territory, or a kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God within you, spiritual. 1 Peter 2. So you're not going to be talking about the church in 1 Peter 2. Well, verse 2 is newborn babes. No Old Testament sacrifice gets you reborn. No animal offering gets you reborn. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, you may grow thereby. Verse number 4, to whom coming is unto a living stone. Look at that. There's no living stone in that temple. There's no living stone in that New Jerusalem. A living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. There's that Isaiah reference. Ye also, as lively stones. How about that? We are not dead participants in a dead religion. We are living participants in a living Christ. Praise the Lord. We're not just building blocks stacked up. We're alive. Living stones. Lively stones. Praise God. And are built up a spiritual house. See that? and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, and there's that verse from Isaiah. So you know what we've got? The church is not Israel continued. The church is not Old Testament plan part two. The church is not covenants reformed. The church is a brand new thing. One was dead, one's alive. One couldn't give life, one celebrates the life it's been given. Praise the Lord. I talked last night about getting along. I try to get along with everybody. For the life of me, I don't understand how our brethren look at that Old Testament and try to figure out how you got life out of it. There isn't any life in it. Jesus didn't say, "Now I am the life." He said, "I am the life." He didn't say, "From here on, I'm the way." He said, "I'm the way." You want life? You got to get it from Jesus Christ. If he hasn't showed up yet, you got to sit down there with Abraham and wait for it to show up. Living stones. Are you saved? You're a living stone. Praise God. You know where you get that from? A living stone. You get connected to the living stone, he make you a living stone. Praise God. All right, 2 Timothy 2. We'll be pretty close here. 2 Timothy 2. I'm saved. You saved? Amen. Praise God. All right, now look at verse number 17. Their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. I don't know who those guys are, but we've had people like them in our church. You probably had them like them in your church. Paul named them. He just named them. He didn't send a letter and say, "Hey guys, we're having a little problem in the church." He sent a letter and said, "Hey guys, we're having a little problem in church," and it's and he put their names in there. Who concerning the truth have heard, saying the resurrection is past already. You know what they did? They got off the foundation. What's the foundation? Hebrews 6, 1 and 2? Resurrections. He didn't say they denied Christ. He said they messed up the doctrine of the resurrection. See that? And overthrew the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Hey, guess what? This church that God built 2,000 years ago and has been added to for 2,000 years has had countless men like Hymenaeus. The foundation standeth sure. It's had countless men like Philetus. The foundation standeth sure. Praise God. Arius has never been to our church. Origen has never been to our church. Clement has never been to our church. We've never had to deal with Essenes in our church. We got to look them up and figure out who they are. You know who's been in our church? Some of the same bunch been in your church. You know what? When this thing is all done, Calvin won't tear the church down. JWs won't tear the church down. Hyper this and hyper that won't tear the church down. Contemporary music won't tear the church down. There's always something we got to guard against, and there's always something we got to fight against. There's always something we got to deal with. But the foundation can't be shaken. The foundation can't be destroyed. It standeth sure. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. So we don't anchor ourselves to Paul or Apollos. Careful now. We anchor ourselves to Paul and Apollos and Christ. See, Paul said, "Be followers of me." If you lock in there, you're going to get off foundation. Jesus said, "Follow me." If you stop there, you're going to get off the foundation. Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Christ and the apostles, they're joined together. People leave our church and say, "Well, I just want to follow Jesus." They don't want sound doctrine. And a lot of people stay in our churches because they want to learn sound doctrine. They don't want to follow Jesus. Listen, we got this intellectual crowd in Independent Baptists. They live like the devil, man. They're just worldly as sin.
You're right. Amen, brother.
And they got all kinds of, I mean, they got the facts. But they're just low down. Then you got people just love Jesus and they're holy and the hemline's right and the haircut's right and all. They don't know nothing about the Bible and don't want to. You know, we got to have a Jesus Christ, chief cornerstone, and the apostles. Now, what are you built on? Look at this. Luke 6:47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them. See, one's the doctrine, one's the practice. Heareth my saying, doeth them. I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and dig deep. And laid the foundation on a rock. That's God.
Amen.
That's God. You know what he did? He took 39 books and 4 millennia to dig deep before he planted that cornerstone. You think about that. He could have just set Jesus Christ down here in Genesis chapter 4. But he didn't. He dug and 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 he dug deep and he said, right there. Now I'm going to set it right there.
Yeah.
You know what that Bible said? That foundation's on that rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for those lively stones were really tough. For it was founded upon a rock. You don't want to get in a Presbyterian house. You don't want to get in a Catholic house. You don't want to get in the non-denominational house. You don't want to get in the Baptist house. You want to get in a house that's built on that rock. That rock. You know why? Because the floods are coming. They've been coming nonstop, 2,000 years. But the house stands. The one God built stands. And it's not because the walls are so hot. It's because that foundation stone, it's way down deep. Way down deep. Matthew 16. What a book we've got in our hands. Verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell have prevailed against one reformation after another. The gates of hell have prevailed against one movement after another. The gates of hell have prevailed against one revival after another. They have never prevailed against the church built by God on Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know why you don't get too excited about this man or that man or this preacher or that preacher? Because they die or they fall or they get senile. Come on. But the church, rolls on.
Amen.
You know, I get up and I tell our church now, I'll say things about Brother Roloff and how I cried the night I heard that news, Brother Roloff died. Still touches my heart. And they just look at you. They don't even know who Brother Roloff was. They say, well, listen to this preaching. And they listen to it and say, I don't even know. What's he talking about? Well, I was milking the cow, and I was out there milking the cow, and I told those girls, I said, girls, you got to get that makeup off, girls, and you don't eat, you know. You don't do anything for them. Man, you used to turn on that radio, and here'd come J. Harold Smith on there, and then here come Oliver Green on there, and then here come Ralph Neighbor on there, and one guy after another, and you say those names now, people don't even know who you're talking about. And Jesus Christ just standing right there, that chief cornerstone, those apostolic truths standing right there, unshaken.
Amen.
Don't give your heart to a man.
Amen.
Don't give your heart to a movement. Get square on that foundation. All right, Luke 14. Luke 14, we'll have a little lunch, I guess. Wonder how big these meetings would be if we fasted. You can get a crowd, you feed them twice a day. Luke 14. I'm not suggesting that, but I'm just wondering. Luke 14. I like this. So many of these things, we point them at us and they mean one thing. You point them to the Lord, they mean something else. 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. You know what God did?
Amen.
God sat back there with his Son and the Holy Ghost, and he said, this is what it's going to take. You'll have to shed your blood and die to redeem them. And this is what it's going to take. You'll have to live inside their sorry bodies and keep them sealed to the day of redemption. And when it's all done, I'll send you down. We'll blow a trumpet. We'll bring them all up here and make them just like you. Son, you think we can do it? I think we can do it. Holy Ghost, you think we can do it? I think we can do it. God the Father said, let's start. And I am absolutely certain that when that man started to build his church and when he laid the foundation, he was certain he could finish the job. And I am satisfied this morning that our wise master builder will not be mocked. I am satisfied our wise master builder will not fail. This church will be completed. It will be escorted into his presence. It will be glorified and crowned and rewarded. And everyone will say, look at what he built. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, bless your word to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be right biblically in what we believe. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brother Andrew.